massive protests in Lebanon, and we're going to hear about it from my friend Abdallah. That's coming up on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here, and I'm at the CBN studios this week publicizing my book, Prowess. And while I'm doing that, I got to see my good friend Abdallah. Abdallah is a Lebanese guy. Tell us about how you ended up here at CBN.
Yeah, it goes back to the year 2000. Mm-hmm. That's when I had to flee the country with my family, with my seven-month-old years boy. Mm-hmm. My son was 7 months old at the time, and we had to leave the country under gunfire and run into the Israeli borders, and from there go into a refugee camp and stay there for a couple months. After that, we had to make a decision on where to go. And because I was working for CBN at the time, I was working in Lebanon covering the war for CBN. I did that for 10 years, and CBN was looking for us, and they found us in a refugee camp, and they offered us to come to the U.S. if that's something that we were interested in. And we made the decision to move and come here. And
and when was that? What year was that?
That was in the year 2000.
Wow. So right before 2001, right before everything blew up?
Yes, yes.
Man, so you were a soldier, is that right? Were you a soldier in Lebanon, or did you were just there for the war?
We grew up as soldiers. We had to be soldiers. We had to learn at an early age how to defend ourselves and our homes and our families, because the Palestinians, when they were kicked out of Israel, they came to Lebanon, and in Lebanon they didn't want to come as refugees. They wanted to come and take over the country and start attacking Israel from Lebanon. And we were in the way. So they would come into our towns and start launching attacks against the Israeli borders and the Israeli settlements. So that didn't sit well with them, that we were in the way. So we were targets as well as the Israelis.
Yeah, did you get it from the Israelis as well? Because the
we
Israelis
were getting
were
it from both sides.
And,
yes. So we had to stand up for them.
Wow.
And say enough is enough. We wanna live in peace. We don't wanna be in war. We don't wanna live this type of life. But they were like launching attacks after attacks. I mean, daily attacks. Mm-hmm. And I remember since I was a little child, in my book I talk about my childhood growing up in Lebanon, how I grew up. As a little boy, all I remember is bombs, machine guns, and that's how we grew up.
Wow.
That's all the memories that we have.
So you mentioned your book. The book is called Fight, and I can't wait to read it. Although I think I know a lot of what's in it because you've talked to me about that, showed me a lot of your pictures. You got some of your pictures in the book here. Tell me more about what it was like growing up. I remember, you know, the fighting in Lebanon when I was younger, about that same time. The green zone, they have the green line, is that right?
The security zone.
Yeah, security zone.
That was
zone
they called it, security
so,
zone.
So I just remember it, seeing the pictures of it was ridiculous.
Yes, yes. That's the part of the country where I grew up. So Israel had to come and push back the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. That's why they invaded Lebanon, and they had to put an end or stop to the Palestinian attacks against the settlements.
Right.
So they came and they created the buffer zone, and they called it the security zone. And they supplied the Christians and other groups in South Lebanon with weapons, and so that they can defend themselves, they can defend their towns, and at the same time they can defend the Israeli borders.
Okay.
So we created like a coalition with the Israelis, so that we can take care of ourselves and take care of the Israeli borders.
Now, I know in Lebanon that there are a large number of Christians and a large number of Muslims, and they sort of divide the neighborhoods. They had a Muslim neighborhood and a Christian neighborhood. The last time I was in Lebanon, which was just a couple years ago, I remember being struck by, as you drive through Beirut, you're driving through a Muslim neighborhood and it's trash everywhere, dirty, graffiti, broken down, everything. And then all of a sudden you cross into a Christian neighborhood and it's beautiful lawns and well-kept and clean. Explain that difference. Why is it like that?
It all falls back to the religion and the culture itself. Our, like, Christianity, we instill in our, like, kids and our families that cleanliness is important in life. And it reflects who you are as a person. To them, it's not. It's just, that's a, like savagery.
Yeah, I've seen that in Afghanistan, too. Like, you know, they don't have, they've got a culture that's been around for 6,000 years. They have no roads.
Like, savage
no
life.
Toilets. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's because if you're born into this particular life, that's where Allah wants you, and it's almost an affront to Allah to try to better your station. Is that right?
And this is where we are now in Lebanon. This is the problem that we're facing in Lebanon now. They want to, the government and the regime surrounding us, surrounding Lebanon, because they're all Muslim nations surrounding Lebanon. They want to take back the country to the Stone Age. They want Lebanon to be backward. They want Lebanon to be like their countries.
Like that, yeah.
Exactly. So that's the fight that we have on our hands.
So what is all the protests and everything that we're seeing in Lebanon right now? I mean, it's been a lot of violence in Lebanon over the last few weeks.
We're here today because there is a parliament session that is anti-constitutional. Normally, they have no right to be here. What they need to be doing is selecting a prime minister and a government. Anything else today is refused by the street, and the street wants the government. We do not want laws. They have no right to do this. So everyone's here for that.
What, can you explain what's going on?
This revolution that's happening in Lebanon now, it's long overdue. It should have happened long time ago. But because of the corrupt politicians who kept, like,
they're stealing things, or they kept oppressing
the people and stopping them from voicing their opinion and telling them enough is enough. Everybody would stand for them. They would just throw them in prison or kill them or do whatever they want.
Okay.
So people were intimidated by the politicians. Now people are done. They're sick and tired of them. Now, Lebanon have never ever been as united as it is today.
Are you saying
Muslims,
that the people,
Christians,
the people who are protesting are not just from one of those?
No,
everyone.
It's everybody in the country.
Wow.
Everybody. The country is like, the people know that the country, there's no return now. This revolution, it's either gonna make Lebanon or break Lebanon, because it's long overdue, and the corruption in the country has been, it's like being cancer, like cancer, it's spread everywhere.
So this is similar to what we're seeing in Chile and Bolivia and places like that, where they're just saying enough is enough with the graft and corruption, the dishonesty from the politicians. We want representative government that's, you know, well, so what's gonna happen?
We've been living with false promises for many years, and people are done with this. They want the right people in the right position.
What do they want, really? I mean,
they want reform. They don't want any of these people in
government. They want a new government?
Completely new government.
Okay.
Completely new. From the president to the parliament to the everybody. They don't want anybody in there.
Now, I know Hezbollah has a big presence in Lebanon. How are they involved in this, or are people tired of them too?
Even their own people are tired of them. This is the one thing that I've noticed in this revolution, that the supporter of certain groups and certain people are tired of their leaders, and they want reform. They want change, because they've been promised so many things before, and nothing has happened.
And you still have family in Lebanon?
Yes, I do. I still have my parents in Lebanon. Most of my siblings, they left the country. They live in Germany and Sweden because of the war, but my parents are still there. They still live in Lebanon.
What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you when you lived in Lebanon? What was the worst day?
Every day was a bad day for me, to be honest with you. I lived a nightmare. I lived a nightmare in Lebanon, and I struggled with nightmares. In my book, I talk about the nightmares that I used to have every single day. because of how intense the situation was for me as a child growing mm-hmm. up. That's all you know. Mm-hmm. So I lost hope. I didn't have any hope mm-hmm. in me left. All I saw is just like the dire situation. All I can think of, when am I going to die? When the time is going to come and this is going to be the end of my life? That's what you think about. You think about survival. You think if you survive another day, that's great. That's an accomplishment. That's an achievement. So that was my main goal and everybody's goal, is just to survive another day, because you're living in a war zone. You're getting bombarded every day, and we cheated death so many times. Like we didn't even have the childhood like every other kid should have. Right? We couldn't go outside and play like normal children. Mm-hmm. We had to stay in a bunker, 10 by 10, a family of 8, and that was our daily life.
How did you survive? How'd you eat? How'd you get water?
Just like the bare minimum. Water, bread. We didn't have. Most of the time, we ran out of bread. We ran out of water, and we had to just survive. Try survive. Go without for until like we can have the chance to go and my dad will go and fetch some water or do something to get us food.
So I'm curious, when you see the political stuff that happens in the United States, and you see the, you know, these people on the left, we call them snowflakes, that just, you go around and chant that America was never great, that America's was founded on slavery, that America's just, you know, it's just such a terrible place here. So mm-hmm. much racism and so much, you know, all this. How do you feel when you see that? What would your answer be?
Honestly, I just, it hurts me so bad, because as an American citizen too, I became to appreciate this country so much, and I appreciate what the president is doing for this country and for the people, because I think he's putting the country on the right track. He knows exactly what this country needs, and he's fighting for this country. And liberals, they want to just keep it wide open. They want to keep this country weak. He's regaining power. Mm-hmm. He's putting back the country on the right track.
Right.
And these liberals, they should understand that whenever you're weak, others they're gonna take advantage of you.
This is from an immigrant asylum seeker. Well, you didn't come here. You came here with
as an asylee,
job or as an asylee.
Yes, as an asylee, and I had to go through the process that people are whining about. Mm-hmm. That they just, people should be welcome. They should come in. No, they shouldn't be coming in like that. They should they should go through the process like everybody else. Mm-hmm. See who's who and who's doing what.
Right.
Run a background check on them and know who they are. And if they wish us ill, they shouldn't be in this country. Mm. They should be shipped back to their countries.
Have you been back to Lebanon?
I've been back, and I've been arrested, and I've been put in jail for almost 15 days.
Why is that?
Because I was wanted by the government, and that's part of my journalism, my reporting, and the things that I've done back in the days. Mm-hmm. They didn't like the reporting that I did, because it was the truth, and they didn't like the truth, so that's why they just had me on the wanted list for the longest time. And when I went back to see my parents, they threw me in jail, and I had to stand court. They had 5 different trials for me.
Wow. Are your parents Christian too?
Yes.
And so what's the state of the church in Lebanon right now?
The church is healthy in Lebanon. To be honest with you, the church has never suffered in Lebanon. Mm. Anybody who tells you other than that, they're mistaken.
I know your president was a Maronite Christian for
yes,
a long time.
Yes, and that's in the constitution of the country. The Lebanese president can't be but a Christian, a Maronite Christian.
Okay.
So that's in the constitution. Mm-hmm. And that's one way to protect Christians.
Yeah, and I know that they have a divided. Like,
yes,
they're
the head of the parliament has to be a Shia Muslim.
Muslim, okay.
The prime minister has to be a Sunni Muslim.
Wow.
So this is the division that they have. They divided.
Can you imagine? Yeah, that's. I don't know if there's any other country in the world that has that. Well, folks, the book is called "Fight: Confronting Evil, Escaping Darkness," and it's Abdallah Daher. That's hard to say your last name to me.
Thank you.
But I hope you'll go pick up the book. It's at Amazon, right?
It's on Amazon, available on Amazon.
Really, check this out. I've seen the pictures. He's told me the stories, and it is amazing. You won't believe the stuff that he's been through, and it will certainly give you a new appreciation for America and for what we have in this country. So thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you, my brother.
Coming on
thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank
right.
you.
God bless you. That's all we got for today, folks. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. I'm Chuck Holton, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow. Boom. Perfect.
Perfect, brother.
All right, man.
Thank
That's
you
awesome.
So much for your time, man.
You bet. You bet.
You're the first person I interview, by the way.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.